in our home. I remember when I first learned about equity. I remember walking around for days going, equity. Equity is everything. Equity. You know, you kind of felt like you had money that you didn't really have, but if you sold your house, you might have it. I said to my husband, I said, you know, we're in the same house. But a few years ago, we were walking around, equity. You know, kind of like we're all that in a bag of chips. And now it's kind of like, where did that go? And God, how can we get out of this house? And, you know, it's the same house. It's just on paper, it looks a little bit different. But a lot of things that we've had our confidence in have been shaken. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
And even sometimes the enemy attacks even our physical health. And we realize that even there, we have to cling so closely to the Lord Jesus. And we have to receive from Him and not always listen to the reports of the doctors. Doctors are good. God's given them a lot of wisdom. They can help us with a lot of things in the natural. But we know that we always have a higher truth, and that's the Word of God. Amen? Amen? Well, I had the PowerPoint girls, and I heard that they had a challenge with that side of the technical things today, too. So hopefully we'll track okay. But I had them put some portions of Scripture on the overhead that you can read there. Or I want to encourage you to open your Bibles today. Open your Bibles. I love to hear paper flapping. And, you know, I have Bible Gateway on the internet, and I look up scriptures that way. But I just love to get out my old, well, used to be my old King James. Now it's my new King James and my Message and my Amplified and all those, and just really do some word studies. But in Luke 8, Jesus is talking here, and it's called the parable of the sower. And he was ministering to some people here. And I believe the truths of God's word are true for us today. And as much as he ministered to them in their culture and in that day and age, they speak timelessly to us today. And this is the word, I believe, for us today in this season in our culture. Amen? In Luke 8, starting with verse 4, it says, "And when a great multitude had gathered, and they had come to him from every city, he spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down. And the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground." Everybody say, "I'm good ground." "But others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop 100-fold. When he had said these things, he cried." That means he said it very loudly. He was speaking to a great multitude here. He said, "He who has ears to hear, she who has ears to hear, let her hear." And then his disciples pulled him away and was asking him about the parable. And he went on to say in verse 11, he said that now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are those who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Those are the ones that never go forward to the altar call. And you wonder, how many times can they come with me and not go forward? But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation, fall away. And we can all think of those, right? Friends that we had, that maybe we both received Jesus at the same time, walked together with the Lord for a while. They got attacked maybe with, you know, a financial thing, or a relationship went south, and they're no longer walking with the Lord today. And you think, how could that be? But that was that was like roots and seeds that were planted on rocky ground. And then it says, "Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they had heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. We are going to bear fruit with patience. Amen? Say, I have a good heart. I have a noble and a good heart. Amen, in Jesus' name. And God, it is the will of God that we go on to bear fruit and come into a place of maturity in our lives, that God can actually use us to minister to other people. Not that we're always needing all the prayer for us, and it's, there's nothing wrong with that, but that we would actually become people that could pray for others, that could be used to minister to others, because of the overcoming that's gone on in our lives, because the temptations have come, and instead of falling away, instead of the seed being choked out, we overcome, and with patience, we go on to become mature Christians in the Lord. Is that you today? Amen. I said, Lord, I want fruit unto maturity. I want fruit that remains. When I minister to someone and they receive Jesus and maybe get filled with the Spirit, I want to believe that they're going to go on, that I'm going to see them in heaven someday. That they're going to go on into maturity. We want fruit that remains. We want children that we're going to raise in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord to go on to know the Lord and actually become pillars in the house of God themselves. Amen? Amen. That's what we want. We want fruit to maturity, fruit that will remain. But we have to be people that do not allow the Word of God to be choked out in our lives. In the Message Bible, verses 14 and 15 says, and the seed that fell in the weeds, well, these are the ones who hear, but then the seed is crowded out and nothing comes of it as they go about their lives, worrying about tomorrow, making money and having fun. But the seed in the good earth, these are the good hearts. I like that. Who sees the word and hold on no matter what, sticking with it until there's a harvest. I love that. But he says that the seed that falls among the thorns or the weeds, it says that this seed is crowded out and nothing comes of it. As these people go along worrying about tomorrow, making money and having fun. The making money, having fun, that is such the spirit of the world. Lust, the lust of other things, pleasures of life. And I just want to take a sidebar here and just mention for a moment that we're not to be of the world. We're not to be the ones that are preoccupied with the cares of this life in such a way that we're just consumed with making money. Now, the Bible says we are to make money. And the Bible says that we're to do with whatever our hands find to do, we're to do with all our might. The Bible says if you don't work, actually, you shouldn't eat. And so the Bible says that we should work. But when we work unto the Lord and we commit our finances unto the Lord, then we can't be preoccupied with all the things that we don't have. And the spirit of the world, it cracks me up on commercials. They'll either make you feel covetous about everything that you don't have, or they'll try to stir up lust. Oh my gosh. If you have young boys, don't you just feel like jumping in front of the TV? I mean, it's like, oh my gosh, they're selling gum and look at her. But, so the pleasures of this life, but I think for most of us here, our hearts are right. We're here. We love God. We're coming to church. And we're working on those areas. We're not so much bound up in maybe making money or the pleasures of this life that we just got to lust it up all the time. But where I've found that so many women get caught up and the Word of God actually gets choked out of their hearts is in the area of the cares of this life. Being caring and concerned about so many things. And, you know, we're the nurturers. You know, when mama ain't right, ain't nothing right. You know, I mean, we are the managers in the home. We're the nurturers of our home. And we're the details. We're all about the details. And so we experience life on a different level many times than our husbands. We've learned about the nothing box that they can go in. I've asked my husband to borrow that box before. You know, we would just love to just go in that box, but we don't know how to zone like they zone. You know, the feet go up, the remote comes out, and no matter what's going on around them, they're able to just tune it out. But we can't do that. Even if we sit down and try to watch TV, we've got the clothes to fold, we've got the, you know, cell phone on our ear, you know, whatever. We're always multitasking because God's just wired us that way, to be detailed and to be concerned about the details. Our kids can walk through the room, and we know what's going on with them. If you've got teenagers or young adults, you know, they can just walk through the room, and you're like, immediately there's a concern. What are they going through? How are they doing? Are they still, you know, spending time with that person that we don't think is a good influence? All of those things. And so the cares of this life can come in and literally choke out the word. Amen? 1 John 2:16 says, it's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life that wars against the Spirit of God. And it's that pride of life, that thinking that we can take care of our own situation, that can choke out the word in our lives. And we need to go on to bear fruit. Amen? Well, Philippians 4:11 says that I have learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content. Not that we don't have goals in our life, not that we never strive for anything, but there's a contentment and a peace in our heart that God is in control of our lives, that we have committed the things that we're concerned about to Him, and then there is peace in our heart, and we move forward from that stance. Amen? So let's talk about the cares. Let's talk about the cares of this life and really what God wants us to do with them. Turning your Bibles to Philippians, the 4th chapter. And we're going to talk about these cares some more and what we're to do with them. Are you with me? Are we good? Can you see me? Am I blending in with the... a little more light up here. Philippians 4, verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, and as a result, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing. That means, in San Bernardino English, don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. What does anything mean? Anything. Be anxious for nothing. What does nothing mean? Nothing. Then does it mean, well, don't worry about the little things. Don't worry about what I'm going to fix for dinner. Don't worry about what I'm going to wear today. But oh my gosh, I've got this big financial need. No, he says here, be anxious for nothing. Do not worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So number one, if we're going to say that these cares are literally the weeds and the thorns that choke out the word of God, and we don't want the word of God choked out in our hearts, we want there to be seed that will grow and bear fruit that will remain. Amen? Have we established that? So, we have got to starve the weeds. We have got to starve the weeds. Number one, we've got to starve the weeds. We cannot give place to the weeds. We cannot be preoccupied with the cares that are going to choke out the word of God in our lives. Actually, worry, according to this scripture, is a sin. And we need to treat it that way. It is a sin. A man of God once said, God would much rather you cuss than worry. Think about it. God would much rather you cuss. Yeah, use the F word. That you wash your kid's mouth out with soap if they use that word. Or I used to. They all think they're going to die young of food soap poisoning. No, I'm teasing. But if I were to stand up here and just rattle out a lot of profanity, you would go, oh my goodness, get a cane, pull her off the stage. And yet we get together with girlfriend over lunch and we worry talk. We talk worry. And I'll top your story of things to be worried about. My situation validates much more worry than yours. And yet the same nice ladies that reprimand their children for cussing, we're sinning every day. I tell people, you know, I don't smoke and I don't chew and I don't go with the guys that do. But I have been guilty of worrying. You don't need to say amen on that one. But we care about things. And because we care, the enemy causes us to go to the wrong extreme and we get over into worrying. And it is an affront to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is literally a slap in his face because he has not said that he has left us without hope. He has much to say in his word. Amen? Amen. Epictetus, some Greek philosopher, can't say his name right, said, "There is only one way to happiness, and that is to cease worrying. That is to cease worrying about things which are beyond the power of our will." Let me read that again. "There is only one way to happiness, and that is to cease worrying about things which are beyond the power of our will." If we're going to be full of joy, if we're going to walk with God and be the ones that he can use to minister to others, we have got to cast our cares on God, and we have got to become women that don't yield to the worry and the confusion of the world. Amen? Amen. And then verse 7 says, "And as a result of not worrying about anything, but praying about everything with thanksgiving, as a result, the litmus test is that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding," it won't make sense why you're at peace, "will guard your heart." It will literally guard your heart, and it will guard your mind, and it will keep you at peace. Now, if you've come away from a time of prayer, and you still have that knot in the pit of your stomach over the thing that you're concerned about, you're not quite there yet, ladies. Because it says, as a result of not worrying and yet committing things to him and giving them to him and coming into place of thanksgiving and praise over it, as a result, the peace of God will keep you. So sometimes we've got to hang in there. We've got to get with God and we've got to get into his word until we come to a place of peace. Now, I want to talk to you about how, in a very practical way, how we can get those cares totally committed to God. How we can get them once and for all on him. Are you with me? Turning your Bibles to 1 Peter 5. And this is one of those tried and proven sections of scripture in my Bible. I had a friend years ago that she used to put T and P. All of her Bible said T and P. T and P. T and an and sign P. And I said, "What is T and P all about?" She said, "Tried and proven. Tried and proven. Tried and proven." This is our owner's manual. This is what we are to direct our life by. We are actually to live by this. Do you guys know that? Do you guys believe that? How many believers do I have today? We are to live by the word of God. Let's look at verse 5. It says, "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders." Ooh, I like that one. I need to, have that one engraved over a mirror in my house in the foyer. I can see it right now. No. Anyway. "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another." Oh, wait, we don't like that one. Oh, well. "And be clothed with humility." It goes on. "For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." And there's a comma there. The sentence is not finished. the inference is how? That he may exalt you in due time. How? Verse 7. Casting all of your care upon him. For he cares for you. Let me read that in the Amplified. Casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all, on him, for he cares for you affectionately, and he cares about you watchfully. Isn't that good? Turn to your neighbor and say, you know, God cares about you affectionately. He has affection towards you. He cares about you watchfully. He has his eye on you. I've been playing I spy with my little eye with my three-year-old grandson. I spy with my little eye brown. What is it, Gamma? Look around. I spy with my little eye brown. Is it that wall? Yeah, it's that wall. God spies with his big eye us. And he sees us every day. And he knows how many hairs we have on our head. And he cares about us affectionately. Yeah, he'll give you a little pet name. He'll give you a little pet name. Maybe that husband that you don't have anymore used to have a pet name for you. God has a pet name for you. He cares about you affectionately. He feels and is affectionate towards you. And he cares about you watchfully. So much so that he knows how many hairs are upon your head. He knows your favorite color. He knows your address. He knows how long you spent on the toilet this morning doing your morning devotions. He knows everything about you, and he still likes you. Isn't that amazing? He still loves you, and he cares about you. So we have not been left to figure this out on our own. When we find out the bad report is not the first time he heard about it. Did you know that? Nothing surprises God because he is. He always has been. He always will be. He is omniscient. He is omnipresent. He is omnipotent. He is everywhere at every moment and knows everything. And he's not surprised when we get the bad report. And many times he's spoken to my heart and said, I've already gone before you, daughter. I've already gone before you. Had some challenges with my adult children a few years ago and was kind of surprised at the spiritual state of affairs. Got on my face, called On Your Face Fellowship. It works. He says, I've already gone before you, daughter. They're okay. They're going to be okay. And guess what? They're okay. Sometimes we have to walk it out because we're in the time zone. He's not. We're in the time zone. So sometimes we've got to walk it out. But we have to trust him and believe his word. And I want to propose something to you today that if you will think about it in this light, you might not be so quick to go there again. That worrying about your situation, wringing your hands, walking, pacing the floor, staying up late, not being able to sleep, getting up early just to spend more time worrying, not to get up to pray, but just to spend more time worrying, is actually pride. And pride is at the very root of sin. The Bible just says it right here. We just read it. It says the last part of verse 1 in 1 Peter 5, God resists the proud. Now, I don't want him to resist me. Do you want him to resist you? We need him, daughters. We need him, sisters. It says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. I need his grace. Amen? It says he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, comma, casting all of your care upon him because he cares for you. It says here that it is literally humility for us to cast the whole weight of our care, all of our concerns, all of our worries, once and for all upon him. Now, I want to give you an illustration of this. I've been hanging around children's church like way too long. So, let's pretend that these are your worries. Yeah, you got a bucket of them. You know, junior that's starting kindergarten, the husband that hasn't kissed you in 3 days. Well, it was Valentine's Day. Wasn't that 3 days ago? Yeah. That, you know, oh, annual pap smear. Oh, annual mammogram. Oh, you know, all of the above. I started to just use my Bible, but that seemed, I didn't want to, you know, that would be an oxymoron. That would be wrong. Anyway, this is the works of Shakespeare, my daughter's complete works of Shakespeare. She said, Mom, that's my goal. Don't treat it nice. But anyway, I need somebody to come up here and help me. Would you like to come up here and help me? Anyway, we're going to say that these are your cares. These are all your cares. You got a whole bucket of them. You know, oh gosh, what am I going to fix for dinner? And oh, this and that. And you're just worried about everything because, you know, you care about everything. Anyway, so you're just fretting and worrying and trying to figure everything out. And here's all your cares. Well, so you come to a place with God and you say, God, I am going to commit all of my cares, the whole weight of them, all of my cares, all of my concerns. I'm going to cast them totally, once and for all, upon you. Now, I thought I started to call her the wrong name. Anyway, this is Angela. She's going to pretend she's God. Wow. Make your family treat you better today. Anyway, so I'm going to commit my cares to God. And I have cast them on God. They are on God. He has them. Who can do something about them, ladies? God. So you get into a place of faith and you commit them to Him, and He has them. So now, who doesn't have them?
You.
Me, representing you. So now, I can be at peace, right? I don't have to try to fix things that I have no control over. Yes, we're supposed to work. Yes, we're supposed to be good keepers in the home. Yes, there's things that we know the Word of God has instructed us to do. But everything that is beyond our control, you can't climb inside your teenage or your adult children's minds and make them make all the right choices. You know you can't make your husband make all the right choices. You know, you can't turn the equity around overnight. You know, you can't maybe change the doctor's report overnight.
Amen.
So things that you have no control over, for you to be worried and to stress about that is really pride, because you're saying, I'm going to try to fix this myself. And so you're figuring, let's see, if I leave the Bible open here, and, you know, if I, you know, put this CD in his car. You know, you're trying to be God's little helper, Holy Spirit little helper. And most of the time, you're really getting in the way. But once you've committed it to God and He has it, then you don't. And then it says the peace of God, which passes all understanding. It will not make sense. Will keep your minds. It'll keep your heart. So then you're foot loose and fancy free. And you come to girlfriends and you run into a girlfriend and says, how are you doing? Oh, God is so good. And you're focused on Him. And you're happy and you're full of peace and you're full of joy because He's got your cares. Yeah, amen. But now sometimes we do pretty good on Thursday mornings, because after all, we've got some accountability around those tables, you know, and girlfriend says, you know, how's it going? Oh, bless God. Cast my cares. I heard Pastor Sue, cast my cares. You know, and we can sound real spiritual. But then come Friday or Friday night when the kids haven't gotten home yet, or, you know, or Saturday when, you know, you got to, you know, sit down and pay bills, whatever. We start wringing our hands. We start going to figure and literally worrying and being concerned, overly concerned. And what do? We take them back. So now who has them?
We do.
Who doesn't have them? And then we wonder why the prayer is delayed. Oh, must be like Daniel. It's going to take 21 days. No, it's only taking 21 days because you keep giving it and taking it back, giving it and taking it back. But we need to cast our cares once and for all, totally, completely upon God. Because He cares for us affectionately and He cares about us watchfully. Now, thank you. You're such a good-looking God. You know, we are created in His image. Anyway. Now that's where we go back to Philippians 4, 6 through 8. Because how do we keep them? We were good. We had a good time with God. We felt the presence of the Holy Spirit. You know, it was easy to walk in it for a few days, kick up our heels. I used to be able to do that. And we had that visual, oh, it's on God. It's all on God. But how do we keep it on God when the next notice comes? Or the kids aren't changed immediately? Or the husband still hasn't said, I love you in three, you know, five more days. How do we keep the care of it cast on God? Well, in Philippians 4, 6, we read, not to worry about anything, to pray about everything with thanksgiving. He says to pray, not worry about anything, pray about everything with thanksgiving. So once the cares are on God, then the rest of our stance going through the day, maybe another notice comes. Maybe we get a bill from the bill collector. Maybe we've got to make another doctor's appointment about it, yet another test. We have to say out of our mouth, we have to say, Father, I thank you that I've committed this to you. Amen. You said not to worry about anything, but to pray about everything with thanksgiving. So, Father, I thank you that I'm going to have a good report. I thank you that my kids are making wise choices. I thank you that the bills are paid. I thank you. And we literally lead a life of thanksgiving and praise. And that wouldn't be a bad thing to do. So then you run into girlfriend a few days later. And you're out, you know, you're not at girlfriend's. So nobody knows. And maybe you're tempted to bring up all the gory details and worry out loud with your girlfriend. But that's where you can encourage each other. And you can say, you know, I have to have another test, but I've committed it to God. And I'm believing for a good report. I've cast it on God. I've committed the care of it to Him. I'm not going to worry about Him because I've learned that worry is a sin. And Pastor Sue said, it's better to cuss than to worry. And I'm not going to cuss because my mama raised me right. And what will help you in that is to get the Word of God. And you know, it's like we have one string around here and we just pluck it and pluck it. But I'm sorry, I don't know another way. That's why you have to get into the Word of God for yourself. It can't be somebody else's testimony. It's got to be your testimony. You've got to get into the Word of God for yourself and find the Scripture that promises you the result you need. You've got to get into the Word of God. You've got to find Scripture so that when you're endeavoring to keep that care cast upon God, you say, Father, I thank you that your word is true. I thank you, Father, if it's about your children, that my children are disciples taught of you, obedient to your will, and great is their peace and their undisturbed composure. Father, I thank you that with Jesus' stripes I was healed. Jesus, you already healed me. So I don't have to worry about a thing because I'm already healed by your precious blood. I'm already healed by your precious stripes. I thank you, Father. And your praise and your thanksgiving causes the Word of God to be sown into good soil and bring forth fruit that will remain. Are we going to weather the test, ladies, or are we going to backslide? That's the question. I'm tired of finding out about people that walked with God for a little while. Where is so-and-so? Oh, they used to go here. What's that about? We need to go on to become mature disciples. As I've meddled before, some of you need to get out of the nursery. We need leaders in girlfriends. We need leaders in children's ministry. We need leaders in youth, and you've been sitting around the Word for a long time. So what do we got to do here? Let's believe God. let's believe God and let our tests become testimonies that takes us from one level of glory to another level, so that it's not just a scripture that we're giving someone. That's good. But we can say, and it's been tried and proven in my life. It has worked. This is what I did. I've shared with you, you know, and I shared earlier in this message, you know, my adult children, when I perceived they weren't doing as well as I thought they should be spiritually. Well, I hit the ground. I got up early. I hit the prayer with a new passion. And God immediately began to turn that situation around. And I offer that as comfort to so many women. I meet with women many times that are struggling. You know, we raised them right. What happened? We raised them. What happened? The influences of the world start coming in, and they have to start making choices. And sometimes they have to learn some hard lessons. But praise God, His grace is still there for them. But I can offer that testimony to them that prayer works. I love what Pastor Deborah says. We don't raise our children in perfection. We raise them in faith. And they're not going to be perfect. They're going to learn some lessons the hard way, just like you did. But God is faithful. And because we brought them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, they will not depart from Him. We have that promise. But you have got to find those promises for yourself and put them in your heart and speak them out of your mouth. Because the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And I found that faith ignites the strongest when I hear it come out of my own mouth. And so you're going to have to do some homework. You're going to have to get up early. You're going to have to open that little Bible on your lap. And I don't care if you don't think you're a teacher or a scholar or anything like that. You're going to have to say, Holy Spirit, teach me. And show me what your word says about this. And He will lead you and guide you. Amen? So we have got to feed the seeds, ladies. We've got to keep our cares committed to God by praising Him for His answer, praising Him for His word. And then we have got to feed the seeds. We've got to water the seed of God's word with the word. We've got to have the word of God in our hearts. I want to just give you some scriptures that will help you. Concerning your husband's or your relative's salvation, Acts 16:31 says you will be saved and your household. Your household is your household. My husband's dad was a Marine, cussed God, didn't want anything to do with God. He got a report that cancer was throughout his whole body. Cussed us out, told us he didn't want to hear it when we went to him and told him, you know, Dad, you're going to be, you know, going soon. You need to do something. He said, get out of here. And cussed us out. Said he didn't want to hear it. A week later, he called my husband and said, my husband's sister called him and said, Dad wants you to come pray with him. He says he wants to pray some prayer. I don't know what he's talking about. She needs to get saved too. We prayed with him. A week later, he went to be with the Lord. We stood on that verse that we were saved and our household. Your children, I've already quoted Isaiah 54:13. They shall be disciples, taught of the Lord, obedient to His will. Great shall be their peace and their undisturbed composure. That's in the Amplified. Concerning your health, I've already quoted that, 1 Peter 2:24. Your finances, Philippians 4:19. Concerning friends, maybe you need godly friends in your life. And last week, Pastor Eleanor gave you many scriptures. And that was such an awesome, awesome message, Pastor Eleanor. And just, I was a little concerned about using too much honey this week. But anyway, that was a really excellent message. I like honey. I thought, oh, I'm not going to use too much. But anyways, Proverbs 17:17. There's a friend that sticks closer than a brother or a sister. Proverbs 18:24. Proverbs 22:11. I like that one. It says that... that if you have, how did it go? Grace on your lips and, something, and grace on your lips, that the king will be your friend. Well, maybe you don't want the king to be your friend, but maybe you want the queen to be your friend. But we have got to speak God's word concerning our situation. And then the reason that we do all this And I've intimated it already. But the reason that we do all this is it brings us to a place where we can literally live in the moment. We can walk with God. We can hear the Holy Spirit. And we can be used of Him because we are not preoccupied with our own situation. We have cast that care on Him. We've committed it to Him. And we can do what the Latins once coined. We can carpe diem. We can seize the day. Carpe diem, it's a Latin term. It means literally to pluck the fruit while it is ripe. We need to be fruit pluckers, ladies. When you're walking around with a knot in the pit of your stomach to where you can't even hardly think straight, you're not open for the Holy Spirit to tell you what to say to the lady in front of you in the grocery line or at the laundromat. Or what to say to that homeless person when you come out of Walmart. But when you have literally cast the whole of your concern, all of your cares, once and for all on Him, then you can seize the day. You can pluck the fruit while it is ripe. You can live in carpe diem. Amen? John 4:35 says, "Do you not say there is still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for the harvest." There is ripe fruit all around us, ladies. We can be used of God. If we'll get us off our mind and decide once and for all that we are on God's mind and He is going to take care of us and everything that we're concerned about, then we can actually be used of God. To be sensitive to the needs of others. How many of you have ever talked to a friend or someone and they have just let you pour out your heart and they have just listened to you so attentively and maybe they really ministered to you and you walked off and maybe you knew or you heard later about a situation going on in their life and you think, oh my goodness. It's kind of like, you know, she's got a report of, you know, terminal cancer, and I'm all hung up on my hangnail. I mean, you know, it just, the contrast. But that is a mature Christian that has learned they're not being careless, but they are being a watchful, wise person. They are committing what they can't do anything about to God, throwing the whole care, the whole concern of it on Him, and then they're able to be there right in the moment for you. They're able to be used of God to listen to your need and to give you a word in due season. Well, I don't know about you, but I want to be that person. I want to be that person that's used of God. I want to be that person that is ready to reap the ripe fruit before it falls off the vine. So in conclusion, ladies, we need to starve the weeds, starve the thorns. Not water the weeds and water the thorns on our lives so they grow up and choke out the word. We need to starve the weeds, commit our cares and concerns to God. Keep those weeds, keep those concerns on Him because He is the only one that can do anything about it. Amen? And then we're to feed the seeds of His word with the word of God. Feed the seeds, feed the good seed that's planted on good soil with the water of His word. And then carpe diem, seize the day. Did you get something?